NBC Monitor News on the Hour. Here's Robert Hager.
Israel continues to take an eye for an eye in the Middle East. 2 days ago, Arab commandos riddled an Israeli airliner with submachine gun fire. Today, Israel struck back. Under cover of darkness, Israeli commandos in helicopters attacked an airport at Beirut, Lebanon, largest airport in the Middle East, striking quickly and heading back to Israel as swiftly as they came. NBC News reporter Al Potashnik in the Middle East says installations at the Beirut airport were still ablaze 2 hours after the attack. The Israeli government, meanwhile, left little doubt it was a retaliatory raid. It said Arab governments must know they bear responsibility for terrorist acts. The new Middle East incident came just before President-elect Richard Nixon completed a briefing with his 7 top foreign policy advisors at Key Biscayne, Florida. The Middle East was one of the topics discussed, but apparently most of the talk was devoted to Vietnam. One of the participants talked to newsmen on a no-names basis. He said the gist of the meeting was a plan for Secretary of State-designate Rogers and Secretary of Defense-designate Laird to develop some alternatives on Vietnam so the Nixon team can formulate a good idea where it will go on Vietnam before taking office. Astronauts Borman, Lovell, and Anders are heading home from the carrier Yorktown in the Pacific. En route, they'll stop briefly in Hawaii, where a big welcome has been planned. Here's a report from John McShane, station KGU in Honolulu.
The Apollo 8 astronauts will step off their plane today shortly after it touches down at Hickam Air Force Base on the Ewa or western side of the island of Oahu at about 2:30 this afternoon. And from the looks of things here in the 50th state, they will get a wet welcome. The temperature is in the high 70s, but the sky is overcast and there's a gentle rain throughout the island chain. The National Aeronautics and Space Administration relented to the request of Governor Burns and other leaders of Hawaii, and what was originally scheduled to be just a refueling stop for Frank Borman, James Lovell, and William Anders has been expanded so that they can receive a hero's welcome on their return from their journey around the moon. A big aloha was planned, but Navy spokesman said that this was impossible. But then NASA relaxed its schedule, and the astronauts will be introduced by Governor Burns, and they will speak from a hastily constructed platform. There was one bit of advice offered by the Navy. Come early, bring an umbrella, there probably will be a crowd. This is John McShane reporting in Honolulu.
There are conflicting reports on Russia's reaction to this latest American feat in the space race. A dispatch from Moscow quotes communist diplomats as describing tremendous pressures now building in Russia to beat America to a manned moon landing. On the other hand, the Moscow scientist, often called the father of the Sputnik, Professor Leonid Sedov, says the Russians aren't that interested in beating the U.S. to the moon. In an interview granted to an Italian reporter, Sedov says America will probably land on the moon first, that Russia is more interested in unmanned flights to, he said, celestial bodies further than the moon. The commander of the Pueblo, Lloyd Bucher, has given authorities one explanation of the confession wrangled from him by his North Korean captors. Bucher says he signed the confession only after the North Koreans threatened to shoot the 81 surviving crew members one by one. There are funeral services today for the one Pueblo crew member who didn't make it, Duane Daniel Hodges, the lone fatality in the Pueblo's capture last January. Services with full military honors are being held at a junior high school in Creswell, Oregon, Hodges' hometown. Oregon Governor Tom McCall is among those attending. In Paris, Deputy U.S. peace negotiator Cyrus Vance is back at work trying to straighten out procedural details snagging the talks. Vance met with his South Vietnamese counterpart, but there was no progress reported on such preliminaries as the shape of the conference table and so forth. In Vietnam, there's been a flurry over a New Year's ceasefire. It began with the U.S. and South Vietnamese saying they would not respect a New Year's truce because the enemy didn't respect the Christmas truce. But a short while later, the Viet Cong offered to talk again about releasing American prisoners if the New Year's ceasefire is respected. No word back yet from the allies, who say the decision now may have to come at some higher level. The Japanese government says it's now picking up evidence of fallout from Red China's hydrogen bomb test earlier this week. The fallout is being sampled by a half dozen jet planes sent aloft over Japan after the government officially protested the test to the communist Chinese. Friends of 3 Soviet intellectuals recently tried on charges of spreading anti-Soviet propaganda say the 3 have been sentenced. They report sentences ranging from 1 to 4 years, somewhat less than asked by the prosecutor. The New York City fuel shortage is past the crisis point, according to that city's deputy mayor, but he cautions that the situation is still serious. Some families are still without heat. Once again, the hour's top story. Israeli helicopters have raided an airport at Beirut, Lebanon, in retaliation for a raid by Arab commandos 2 days ago. Robert Hager, NBC News, Washington.
Listen again on the hour for NBC Monitor News. Music from Monitor and Floyd Kramer, for lover's sake. I'm Joe Garagiola. On the last weekend of 1968, the year of the Czech Revolution and the Apollo 8 revolutions, the year many of us got Hong Kong flu and all of us got a new president, the year when an airliner headed for Miami and actually got there without being hijacked, what will 1969 be like? Well, in a few moments, I'll be talking about that with Vice President Hubert Humphrey. But first, though...
The flu can turn every minute into 60 seconds of pure misery. The flu. It's going around. If the flu hits you, you're in for aches, pains, chills, and fever. Be prepared with Bufferin. Why Bufferin? Because Bufferin is the high-speed formula for the relief of flu miseries. Many doctors recommend it for minor aches and pains. And it reduces fever with the most effective fever reducer known. Bufferin starts its medication to your aches, pains, and fever in just 60 seconds. Bufferin. It won't upset your stomach the way plain aspirin can. If you ache with the flu, remember, of all leading brands of analgesics you can buy for minor pain, doctors specify Bufferin most. That's right. Of all leading brands of analgesics you can buy for minor pain, doctors specify Bufferin most. Bufferin, the high-speed formula for relief of flu miseries.
What are you doing New Year's Eve? Well, NBC's Ben Grauer will be in Times Square for the 26th year watching that lighted ball drop. Mr. New Year's, Guy Lombardo will be at the Waldorf playing the sweetest Auld Lang Syne this side of the East River. And the Apollo 8 crew won't be as high as they were last week. Now, one of our country's leading citizens will be celebrating the arrival of 1969 in Waverly, Minnesota. Vice President Hubert Humphrey. And we have Mr. Humphrey on the Monitor open line right now. Mr. Humphrey, how are you planning to spend New Year's Eve?
Well, Joe, I'm planning to spend it in a sort of friendly family manner. We generally gather around for a good evening dinner, and then with some of our close, intimate friends in this area, plus members of our family, younger members, why we get together for an evening of festivity and good fellowship.
Do you make New Year's resolutions?
Oh, yes, I make them, but I have a good deal of trouble keeping them. But I'm very good on making resolutions.
What would you like to achieve in 1969, Mr. Humphrey? I know the VIP program is close to you. Anything else?
Well, that is very close to us, and we got a good start with that this past year. And it has brought a good deal of happiness to a number of our fellow Americans that are less fortunate than some of us, particularly our veterans in our veterans' hospitals and up at the Army-Navy hospitals. We'll continue that, but I'm, of course, going to have to design a new pattern of life this year, 1969. That's not going to be easy, but I think it'll be very challenging.
Talking about challenging and a new pattern of life, you've been rumored as the one of the candidates for the baseball commissioner's job. Would you take it if they offered it to you?
I'm afraid I'm not neutral enough, Joe.
You're a great Minnesota Twins fan.
I really am, you know, and when you turn out to be a fan, it's difficult to become judicious.
Well, will you still be, maybe I'm giving you another job, head of the Democratic Party, or who is?
Well, I guess it's my job to at least serve in that capacity, and I intend to try to give the Democratic Party some constructive and effective leadership. Of course, we have many very strong voices in this party and very able and active people. But as the man that carried the standard of the party in the recent campaign, I intend to hold that standard high and, if possible, to lift it to a little higher ground than we had it. I hope that we can end up 1969 with a political party much better organized than the one that I found, and hopefully one that's much better united. I think we can make it. In fact, I intend to put myself to that task.
Do you intend to begin right in Minnesota? Again, using a baseball analogy, we've got expansion, and it sounds like Senator McCarthy's ready to start a new league up there.
Well, I doubt that. And not only that, you've got to be able to get enough players, you know. we think we've got lots of room within the Democratic Party for people that can play any spot on the team and a few switch hitters besides, see. I think we'll be all right.
Can you tell us anything at all about being offered the post of the ambassador to the United Nations, Mr. Humphrey?
Well, I think most of it has been in the press and on the radio and TV. I was given the opportunity to serve in that position. I felt that at this time that wouldn't be appropriate for me. I thanked Mr. Nixon, and I did so with sincerity and with respect. I believe that our foreign policy ought to be bipartisan. I believe that Mr. Nixon wants to make it that way, and I will try to help him in every way I can. The crew of the Pueblo is home, and this has relieved the American mind a great deal. The American nation has been very disturbed. Then we've had this remarkable success, this spectacular achievement of Apollo 8. These men, I know them so well, Frank Borman and Jim Lovell and Bill Anders. These are just the finest of people. And when I hear people critical of our country, I ask them to take a look at what's good that's going on. And then there's some hope of withstand this international monetary crisis that was gripping the world here just a few weeks ago. So let's take a good look at the better side of life. There's a lot of things that's on the upbeat, and I believe that you're going to see 1969 as a year that is the product of having learned some bitter lessons out of 1968. I believe we're on the road to peace in Vietnam, too. I really believe that the processes of peace have set in now, so that we can have a good year coming up. And this is not being overly optimistic. I think it's being rather realistic.
Mr. Humphrey, thank you very much, and Happy New Year to you and your lovely family.
All right, and Joe, my best to you and to all your listeners. We're your fans.
Listen, I expect to be one of those people you invite out to the university.
You betcha. Listen, when do you want to come?
As soon as we can make a booking. I figured I'd come out there, and you'd say, now, you better study, or you're going to end up a radio announcer.
All right, friend.
Okay, Mr. Humphrey, thank you now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. By the way, that VIP program that the vice president mentioned is a drive to get celebrities to visit very important patients in our veterans' hospitals. If you'd like to know more about this, why not write to Vice President Humphrey in Waverly, Minnesota? That's a suggestion from us on the Monitor Beacon.
Mothers-in-law, husbands, wives, marriage, divorce, infidelity, you name it, we've discussed it. Right here on the Dr. Joyce Brothers program on WNBC Radio. WNBC Radio 66.
WNBC, Radio 66, New York.
A song from Sue Rainey and Monitor for the New Year's Day, maybe. Early morning blues and greens.
Mercury Montego, the winning intermediate from the makers of the Lincoln Continental. Montego.
Lincoln Mercury leads the way!
Montego, with the look that makes an automobile truly beautiful. See all the winning new Mercury Montegos at your Lincoln Mercury dealers.
Montego is here, drive a winner this year. Lincoln Mercury leads the way!
As everyone knows, the Russians are a very demonstrative people, always kissing and hugging. So what do they do at midnight on New Year's Eve? Well, here's a report now from Kenneth Bernstein, NBC News, Moscow.
At midnight on New Year's Eve, the Russians do not wear funny hats, twirl noisemakers, or kiss. This is strange because the Russians are the kissingest people, as you may have noticed from all those pictures of mushy airport greetings. Toward midnight, the Russians at their parties turn on the radio and listen to an official greeting of the government. And then, as the Kremlin clock begins to chime, they raise glasses and toast, Happy New Year, new happiness. This may sound solemn, but it is only a brief interlude in an otherwise intensive night of partying. Since Christmas is officially not celebrated, the Santa Claus image and the fir trees belong to New Year's here. Gifts are exchanged, the stores are busier than ever, and the papers are recommending a variety of appropriate presents, from neckties to ideological books. By the way, the papers are also recommending that the lady comrades wear black dresses to New Year parties. They say that low necklines are okay this year, but recommend a necklace to divert attention. The restaurants, which are booked solid, stay open till 4 or 5 in the morning, the only time of the year they're allowed this license. Everywhere, there'll be drinking far beyond the norm. Good Armenian cognac is already hard to find, but vodka is said to be in good supply. And the drinkers won't have to worry about one particular hangover. The government says the price of vodka will not go up on January 1st. Speaking of hangovers, the nice thing here is that not only January 1st, but the 2nd as well is an official holiday. Anyone who is able is supposed to go back to work on the 3rd. Kenneth Bernstein, NBC News, Moscow.
Christie Minstrels, and you're invited to spend New Year's Eve with them at the Rainbow Grill. NBC's All-Star Parade of Bands will be bringing them to you, along with the big bands of Duke Ellington, Lionel Hampton, Harry James, and Lawrence Welk. Festivities begin at 11:06 p.m. New York time, so swing out the old, swing in the new, right here on NBC Radio.
Everything.
We pay for modern civilization with acid indigestion, gas, heartburn. The modern solution is Digel, the extra action antacid. Digel neutralizes excess acid and has the extra action of simethicone in a patented formulation that breaks up bubbles of gas to help relax your tense, tight stomach. You feel better fast. Yes, Digel, the extra action antacid, brings you more complete relief. D-I-G-E-L, Digel, tablets or liquid at all drug counters. When someone in your family has a minor cut or scrape, stop the pain with Solarcaine, more effective than ordinary first aids that have no pain-killing ingredients. Solarcaine contains benzocaine, medication used by doctors. Stop skin pain with Solarcaine. Cream, lotion, or spray.
Sealed with a kiss.
Southern fried chicken.
I love Wetson's Southern fried chicken.
And some Wetson's hamburgers.
I love Wetson's hamburgers too.
And some strawberry Wetson's thick shakes.
You wouldn't put me on, would you?
Look, Glenn, I don't have time to stand here and talk to you. I have to go.
Liza.
What?
Guess who's coming to dinner?
You love Wetson's.
I love it.
WNBC News. You can rely on it.
on WNBC Radio 66, New York.
This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News. It's 5:30. Sources in Washington say the skipper of the captured intelligence ship Pueblo, Commander Lloyd Booker, signed a false confession admitting the ship was in North Korean waters only after the communists threatened to kill the Pueblo crew. Booker reportedly made this disclosure to U.S. Navy interrogators in San Diego. American military spokesmen in Saigon say the Viet Cong's offer to meet again to discuss the release of three American prisoners will have to be accepted by U.S. officials in high places. A U.S. negotiating team met with a VC on Christmas Day, but that session failed to win release for the men. The communists have now proposed New Year's Day for another meeting. President-elect Nixon met today with seven top foreign policy advisors who will form his National Security Council. The Key Biscayne meeting centered on the major decisions that must be made during the first 90 days of the incoming administration. The Apollo 8 astronauts are expected to get a big aloha when they land in Hawaii later today. The astronauts are scheduled to take off from the carrier Yorktown at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. They took off about a half hour ago, and they'll switch planes in Hawaii, then fly on to Houston. The three are said to be in excellent physical shape following their six-day mission around the moon and back. New York's fuel oil shortage has passed the crisis point, but Deputy Mayor Robert Sweet says the situation will remain serious as long as some families are living in unheated apartments. Fuel oil companies struck by Teamster drivers a week ago will continue to make emergency deliveries over the weekend. The embattled Long Island Railroad ran on schedule today. A threatened strike by trainmen was averted late yesterday when President Johnson named a fact-finding panel to investigate contract demands. The president's intervention imposes a 60-day cooling-off period. If agreement is not reached by February 25th, the union is free to walk out. The trainmen have submitted a list of 47 separate demands. Talks between East Coast shippers and striking longshoremen broke up last night when both sides deadlocked over the issue of containerization. The eight-day-old strike has idled ports from Maine to the Gulf and is costing shippers $15 million a day. Negotiations resume in New York tomorrow. Governor Rockefeller announced today that the state will spend about $1 billion on social services during the coming fiscal year. It's an increase of nearly $400 million. The governor said 2 weeks ago that the state education costs would grow by about $1 billion. And all this has given rise to predictions that New Yorkers will be hit by new taxes in 69. The Greater New York Blood Program says reserves in city blood banks are holding even today, but the situation is expected to worsen tomorrow. About 1,000 pints were received yesterday. That's just a day's supply. City hospitals are currently about 2,000 pints under normal levels. Those wishing to donate can call the Greater New York Blood Program at 799-8290, 799-8290. And if you have the flu, don't call. Syria commented today on the U.S. decision to sell 50 Phantom jets to Israel. It said the decision impedes any genuine effort to create proper conditions for the establishment of a just peace in the Middle East. And in even stronger words, Syria said the agreement to sell the jets to Israel killed all hopes that the United States might abandon what it called the U.S. position as the number one enemy of the Arabs. The weather cloudy with rain today, a high in the low 40s, that rain ending tonight with a low in the upper 20s. Tomorrow, variable cloudiness, windy and cold, a high in the upper 30s, but no rain forecast for tomorrow during that big game at Shea Stadium between the Jets and the Oakland Raiders. Right now, it's 39 degrees and cloudy in New York. This is Frank Gorin, WNBC News, and now back to Monitor.
Thank you.
Severinson and Knowing When to Leave. That's a song for that St. Louis collector who has 40,000 timetables. Don't you sneak off. There's a lot of good monitor music, news, and sports to come in just a moment. I'll have a report from the world of space.
The flu can turn every minute into 60 seconds of pure misery. The flu. It's going around. If the flu hits you, you're in for aches, pains, chills, and fever. Be prepared with Bufferin. Why Bufferin? Because Bufferin is the high-speed formula for the relief of flu miseries. Many doctors recommend it for minor aches and pains. And it reduces fever with the most effective fever reducer known. Bufferin starts its medication to your aches, pains, and fever in just 60 seconds. Bufferin. It won't upset your stomach the way plain aspirin can. If you ache with the flu, remember, of all leading brands of analgesics you can buy for minor pain, doctors specify Bufferin most. That's right. Of all leading brands of analgesics you can buy for minor pain, doctors specify Bufferin most. Bufferin, the high-speed formula for relief of flu miseries.
Did you know there's a Flat Earth Society in London that's still insisting the world isn't round? Well, following the Apollo flight this week, they've reluctantly agreed to take another look at the subject. A look at the world of space now by Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
When the Apollo 8 astronauts named about 30 moon landmarks after members of the astronaut team and other assorted friends, they were doing it with tongue in cheek and for reference as they whirled around the moon. Most of the prominent features just don't have names. One astronomer estimates there are at least 30,000 unnamed points of interest on the side of the moon we see, more than that on the far side. So the references to the craters von Braun, Houston, Borman, Lovell, Anders, and the others were made as a practical reference system. Traditionally, moon features can be named by the people who discover them, but moon craters are named for leading scientists who are no longer living. In recent years, the International Astronomical Union has passed on the names at its meetings every 3 years. The next meeting of the IAU will be in England in 1970, at which time the Americans and the Russians will probably submit lists of proposed names. The Soviets will undoubtedly propose craters be named for their astronauts who have died, Gagarin and Komarov. The U.S. list may propose names to honor Grissom, White, and Chaffee, and probably such others as Goddard and Oppenheimer. In 64 and 67, the IAU decided not to name anything, despite a list of names submitted by the Russians. They decided to await the completion of a new moon mapping job, which has been underway for several years. Hopefully, for the moon namers, it will be completed by 1970. Peter Hackus, NBC News, Washington.
I can't help it if I'm with you.
Today I passed you on the street, and my heart fell at your feet. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. Somebody else stood by your side, and he looked so satisfied. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. Came slowly stealing. I brushed your arm and walked so close to you. Then suddenly I got that old time feeling. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you.
Monitor music now by the guys who won an M in music, the Lettermen. Upset in the Gator Bowl. The gray beats the blue. Coleman quits at Princeton. Missouri won the Gator Bowl today, stunning Alabama and its heralded defense 35-10. The Missouri Tigers exploded for 21 points in the closing 5 minutes and gained more than 400 yards on the ground. Missouri quarterback Terry McMillan didn't complete a pass, but he paced the Tiger running attack with 3 touchdowns. The gray beat the blue 28-7 as halfback Dickie Lyons of Kentucky 45-yard punt return and on a 3-yard pass reception. Elsewhere in college football, Princeton is in the market for a new head coach. Dick Coleman resigned today and will become athletic director of Middlebury College in Vermont. During Coleman's 12-year Princeton coaching career, his teams won 2 Ivy League titles outright and shared 2 championships. A replacement is expected to be named in February. In pro football, the weatherman may have the final say about who wins tomorrow's AFL and NFL championship games. Here in New York, where the Jets play Oakland for the AFL title on NBC, the forecast is for variable cloudiness, windy and cold, with the highest temperature around 40. Now, the key word there is windy.
especially at Shea Stadium. It could affect the passing of the Jets' Joe Namath and the Raiders' Daryl LaMonica. There's one other note on Oakland. Split end Warren Wells, who's been bothered by a bruised heel, probably will play, but a decision will not be reached until just before game time. Meanwhile, the forecast for Cleveland, where the Browns take on Baltimore for the NFL title, calls for a dip into the 20s tonight, followed by snow flurries. The field, already in bad shape from heavy rains, may be heavy, which could affect the running attack of the Cleveland Browns. The Big Four of tennis, Australia, the United States, Britain, and France, recommended today that all international tournaments, including the Davis Cup, should be open to professionals as well as amateurs. They also recommended that all competitors should carry the simple designation of player. The Australian representative said there was no chance the Davis Cup would be open to the pros next year. In the challenge round today, the U.S. completed a 4-1 triumph over Australia. The lone American defeat came when Arthur Ashe was upset by Bill Bowrey in the final match, 2-6, 6-3, 11-9, and 8-6. In college basketball, Holy Cross beat Providence 78-66 in the Holiday Festival at Madison Square Garden. In the East Carolina Classic, Cornell 93, Delaware 77, William & Mary 74, Air Force 71. In the Quaker City Classic, DePaul 95, Rhode Island 86. In the Big 8 tournament, Nebraska over Oklahoma 70-48. In pro basketball, Rick Barry, the American Basketball Association scoring leader, is hobbling around on crutches today. Barry suffered possible torn ligaments or cartilage of the left knee in a game last night. And the medical report says that the Oakland Oak star may be sidelined from 2 games to maybe 3 weeks. And that could be a real big blow to the ABA. In the NBA today, Detroit 131, San Francisco 102. In the National Hockey League, Chicago bombed Minnesota 5-2. Pitt Martin of the Blackhawks scored twice and had an assist. In baseball, members of the St. Louis Cardinals will be getting their contracts in the mail in the next few days. But Cardinal player representative Tim McCarver says he expects his teammates to pigeonhole the contracts. The Players Association has called for a contract signing boycott until club owners increase the amount that they contribute to the players' pension fund. That could be a beautiful battle. Yesterday, you know, there was one ticket sold on a big perfected tropical racetrack, and it was worth $55,000, $369,000 actually. And that ticket was cashed today, and the tourist identified himself as just a bettor, and when I asked him about his plans, all he said was, "I'm going to make further investments in today's tropical park card, including the big perfected." $55,369 he won yesterday. Happy New Year, my friend. That's the late sports. Don't forget NBC's New Year's Day football treat, the Sugar, Rose, and Orange Bowl games, all on NBC, as well as tomorrow's big American Football League championship game, Oakland Raiders at New York. Right now, though, we've got Horst Jankowski, and we got love.
Thank you.
had to happen. In Miami, they've named a racehorse for the Apollo 8 flight. The filly is being called Apollo Jetty.